morning will be Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged.
Some time ago, a syndicated columnist wrote an article entitled Shunning Moral Judgments. In this article, the author said that we live in a time when people are hesitant to condemn things. There are students who do not want to condemn what Germany did to the Jews. We live in a time when people do not want to judge. They do not want to condemn people who commit crimes. The author made this observation. We live in a period when there is a great deal of moral relativism. That is, there seems to be a phobia when it comes to making judgments. And this problem is one that we see in almost every level of society. At different times over the past few years, there have been people in our government who have been asked to make judgments about obscenity, judgments about pornography. And in at least some cases, people have said, well, we don't know how to judge obscenity. How can we determine what's pornographic and what is not? Many either seem to be scared of making judgments or simply unwilling to make them. We find when we look at God's people, when we look at Christians, that when they make judgments about things in the world, they're often condemned. The people of God are sometimes told that when they make a judgment, it's unkind, it's unloving, and wrong. This morning I want to present for your consideration some information about judgment. One of the most well-known passages that deals with this subject, of course, is what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 1. This passage was read just a moment ago for the scripture reading. When people know almost nothing about scripture, chances are they can quote Matthew 7, verse 1. Many non-religious people can quote the first verse in Matthew chapter 7. People know how the chapter begins, but frequently it's the case that that's about all that they know. As you look at this chapter, you find that Matthew 7, 1 is not the entire picture of what Jesus had to say about judgment. Jesus did make the statement that was read, but then he provided some additional details. Sometimes people lift this statement out of its context. Other verses are not considered, and people are left with the impression, or others affirm, that judgment is always wrong. There are a number of people who use this passage to affirm that nearly all forms of judgment need to be condemned, and sometimes that's even true of religious people. A few years ago, there was a preacher, a member of the church, a gospel preacher, who decided that he was going to start a new congregation in northern Indiana. This man said that at the new congregation, he would only preach positive sermons. He wasn't going to preach any sermon that dealt with areas of judgment or things that involved disapproval. He was going to have positive sermons coming from the pulpit. And I found with the passage of time that people have appreciated him for his stance. People come. People like to hear him preach. People enjoy that kind of teaching. But I wonder, as I think about that man and the work that he's doing, what God thinks about him. Does God want his people, whether they're a preacher or not, to go through life without making judgments and decisions about things? I know of another preacher who recently called a congregation to inquire about a preaching position. And this man who was calling another congregation told the people that he was talking to, "I am very good at evangelism." He made himself out to be a virtual church expert on evangelism. He said that the place that he was leaving had grown by leaps and bounds. When the people who received the phone call from him asked what the growth could be attributed to, he said, "Well, I don't preach judgmental sermons." And I'm sure that that helped. But the question is that what Jesus had in mind when he spoke the words in Matthew 7, verse 1? The first verse in this chapter simply introduces the thought. And the following verses, notice if you will what Jesus said in verses 3 through 5, help explain what the Lord meant in verse 1. Jesus added, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? But considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me cast out the mote out of thine eye, and lo, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite," Jesus said, "cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's." Jesus did not condemn all forms of judgment in verse 1. As you look at verses 3 through 5, you find that he condemned a specific kind, a certain type of judgment. The Lord dealt with the kind of judgment that is fault-finding. He described the kind of judgment that is hypocritical. Jesus described the kind of person who wants to go out and solve all the problems in the world. They want to condemn others while they themselves have sins and problems that are much greater in their own life. When most people quote or apply Matthew 7:1,
They misuse, they misapply the passage. Jesus never condemned judgments, he condemned unjust judgments. A good cross-reference for Matthew 7:1 is John 7:24, and we're going to be looking at that reference momentarily. When Jesus presented the information in John 7:24, that was not new material to the people who heard it. These people were familiar with the Old Testament, and back in Deuteronomy 1, verse 16, God told his people to make judgments. The nation of Israel had grown quite large, and God said that there was a need to make judgments in the nation of Israel. And then Jesus said this in John 7:24, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Are we allowed to judge things? Jesus said that we are. We're not allowed to engage in the kind of judgment that Jesus described in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Some want to tell others about small matters when they themselves are overwhelmed with problems and sins. But we are authorized, according to Jesus, to deal with matters as far as judgment if we involve ourselves in those matters in a righteous way. What is righteous judgment? Well, if you look in Thayer's Lexicon, page 149, part of his definition is this: rendering to each his due. And that's simply a way of being fair, being equitable, presenting the truth, being accurate in our judgment. And then Thayer added this. He says, passing just judgment on others. That's righteous judgment. Now, the kind of judgment in Matthew chapter 7 was not righteous. Here you have people who were nitpicky, people who were fault-finding when they themselves were laden with sins. But passing just judgment, passing righteous judgment, Jesus says, is right. And as you think about what Jesus said in John chapter 7, you find a variety of Bible examples of where people did this very thing. I'm not going to actually read these passages, but I will give you the references. We learned some things about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 and Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist was a preacher who made some judgments. In Matthew 3:8. He made a judgment about people that said that they needed to repent. John told the people that they could no longer live in the way that they were living if they wanted to please God. He turned to a bunch of people and said, "You need to repent. You need to live in the way that God wants. You need to shape up." And in Luke's account, Luke chapter 3, he made some other judgments. He said that if there were people who had two coats, and he described the inner garment that people had, he said, if you have two of those and you see someone who does not have one of those garments, you need to share. You need to be willing to give up one of your coats. In our day and time, in the spirit, in the climate of non-judgmentalism that we have, people would say, well, what right do you have to say that? What right do you have to judge people concerning their possessions? By himself, John had no right. On his own, John had no authority, but John was speaking for God. And because he was a spokesman for God, he was able to deliver a righteous judgment. We also find in Luke chapter 3, verse 13, that there were tax collectors, and these men were guilty of extortion. And John made a judgment about their actions. He said that you're extortioners, you're crooks, and you need to end that activity. My favorite part of the chapter, though, is in verse 19. As you look at that passage, you find that John went to the man who ruled over Galilee. This man was a public official who was in charge of many people. It was Herod Antipas, and John knew that Herod was a ruler who had pulled a fast one. You see, there was a time in Herod's life when he took a trip to see his half-brother Philip. And while Antipas was in the home of his half-brother, he became pretty fond of Philip's wife. Even though Antipas was married, his fondness for Philip's wife led to his talking to her, and the two of them agreed to get married. Philip's wife said, "I'll dump my husband." Antipas said, "I'll dump my wife," and the two of them got married. Now, that happens. That kind of thing occurs in our day and time. And when it occurs, what do we hear from people? I'll tell you some of the things that I hear. People would say, "Well, I wouldn't do that," but they're adults. Someone else might say, "Well, as long as they're happy, that's what counts." Others would say, "Well, I don't want to judge them." Was that what John the Baptist did? John the Baptist did not take that kind of approach. He did not believe in moral relativism. He was not working under the theory which says, "I'm okay, you're okay." In fact, we'll just turn over there and read that. If you've not turn to Luke chapter 3. We'll give you just a second to get there. As you look at Luke 3:18, the Bible talks about with many other exhortations, therefore he preached good tidings unto the people. But he didn't have some good tidings for Herod Antipas. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things which Herod had done. John rendered a number of judgments against this man. He came to this fellow and said, "You are involved in a marriage relationship that is not lawful before God." You have taken this woman and you are not lawfully married to her. That's what's said in Mark's account, Mark 6, verse 18. And as you look at the end of verse 19, you have a detail that's even juicier. He said to Antipas, I know about all the evil things that you've done. And John also judged this man for those things too. John the Baptist was a man who pleased God. And he was a man who made righteous judgments. He wasn't trying to nitpick Antipas to death, but there were some things that this man had done. There were some things in his life that needed to be corrected. And John let him know. The people in the world, at least some of them, didn't appreciate John the Baptist, but God surely loved him. As we look at the Bible, we find again and again that God's people are entitled to make, and in some circumstances, even obligated to make judgments if they're righteous. One of the places where we read about judgment, and we could describe it as righteous judgment, is in the letter to the Romans towards the end of that book, Romans chapter 14. Paul dealt with matters of judgment. Earlier this month, I was put into a rather unpleasant position. Two Christians who are not associated with this congregation were sitting in the same room. These brethren had been having a disagreement over a particular issue for a fairly lengthy period of time. Neither had become factious about the matter or hateful, but they were both entrenched in the way that they viewed this thing. The matter that they disagreed on was not any point of doctrine. They were in agreement as far as matters relating to the church, salvation, etc. And I happened to be there, and they said, well, Brad, we want to know what you think. It turned out, as they described their situation, that I believed as one of the men believed. But what they were asking about was a matter of judgment. Thus, righteous judgment on this occasion needed to be just as Paul described. When we deal with matters of opinion, and sometimes there are matters that are in that category, here's what Paul said, Romans 14, 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge ye this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way or an occasion of falling. There are some issues in life. There are some matters that are related to opinion and personal judgment. And Paul says that when we have that kind of thing in life, we have no right to impose our belief, our conviction on someone else. There are some matters where people are entitled to their own belief. In other areas of life, we are not dealing with matters of opinion. And when we're dealing with an area where God has legislated on the matter, then we're bound to go ahead and, shall we say, rule. Paul made this clear to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Towards the beginning of the chapter, 1 Corinthians 6, 2, he said this, or know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? Using that fact, he said this, and if the world is judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest of matters? And the answer to that question is no. He realized that the Corinthians were entitled to make judgments. They did need to make some judgments. They were not going to be the ultimate judge. According to Romans 14, they did not have the right to make judgments in the area of opinion. But when God's will applies to a particular matter, then Christians have the right to make some judgments. And they do need to make some judgments. Notice, if you will, the next verse in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? And then Paul says, how much more things that pertain to this life? And then a little bit later in this book, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, Paul said, judge what I say. And that's consistent with some of the other things. You may remember from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that he said, prove all things. You check things out. John, as he wrote the letter of 1 John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he said, you prove, you check out, you try the spirits, test them, because there are many false spirits in the world that are not of God. On every hand in society, God's people hear at one point or another that judgments are wrong and unloving. We hear judgments, that judgments, especially in the area of morality, are kind and even hateful if we choose to make them. But you know, as you look at the Bible, you find that when God's people made judgments, they weren't condemned by God. Sometimes condemned by the world, sometimes condemned by those who are not in a right relationship with God. But if the judgment was made, it was a righteous judgment done in the right way, done with the right spirit, done according to God's word, it pleased God. There are some limitations that we have in the area of judgment, and these limitations need to be observed. But we also need to observe the requirement God has posed upon us, imposed to make righteous judgments. And in this area, we cannot compromise. As I look at the world, I find, kind of ironically, that it's often the case that they do make judgments. The very people who come along and say, we shouldn't judge others, they've just judged us, so they've done what they've condemned. And a more recent example of that is, I think most of us have heard of the 16-year-old who was slammed on the hood of a police car, California. Tragic event, no matter what the circumstances are there. And some of the very people who on one hand would say to the Christian, you're making judgments about things and that's wrong. Some of those very people are the folks who are now out in California clamoring for the police to be fired from their jobs and put in jail. They believe the same thing that we do, that judgments in life need to be made. Now, they may make judgments in different areas. They may draw the line at a different place on judgments. But folks, the people in our world, if you boil it down, they too believe in making judgments. So never be deluded with the old lie that judgments are unkind and judgments are unloving. Everybody makes them. It's just a matter of where people draw the line. And Jesus said that the line for the Christian in John chapter 7 is righteous judgment. That needs to be our standard. We need to engage in judgment which is fair, judgment which is equitable, judgment which is just, and judgment which is consistent to God's word. And if we do that, we're going to be a faithful child of God, and we will be headed on the right way. We make just or righteous judgments when we follow God's word and live as Jesus taught through the apostles. This morning, we hope that you are someone who has become a Christian, and as you go through life, the judgments that you need to make, that you'll make them at the appropriate time and in the appropriate way so that your judgments will be righteous. We also hope that if you're someone who is here and you're not a Christian, that you realize that when the Bible is presented to people and things are taught, not what we believe, not the convictions that some church board has come up with, but what's taught is designed to be a judgment information from God that's righteous because it's based on God's word. Jesus said that's going to be the standard that judges us in John chapter 12, because that is a righteous standard. So as we bring this lesson to a close, we simply ask the question, the standard that God has, the righteous standard, is that what you obey? The Bible in that righteous standard talks about the need to believe. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's the righteous standard, faith. Part of the righteous standard is also found in repentance. Jesus said that without that, we're going to perish, Luke 13:3. And when people are ready to repent, willing to confess Christ as Lord, as the man did in Acts chapter 8, the Bible says in Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. We become righteous by obeying the standard that God has given, and by continuing to use that standard as we go through life. Have we used the standard to become a Christian? And are we trying to employ that standard to make righteous judgments as we go through life? If the answer to either of those questions is no, and this morning we can help you write your relationship with God, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.